Oh, but I only did it when I was a girl. Oh, it was years ago. Oh, I didn't mean anything by it. It was just a joke. But you went. You put yourself under an obligation to Satan. You've never cancelled it. And I can tell you case after case where this kind of darkness and heaviness over a life has been lifted by the cancelling of that obligation to Satan. Whatever it be, you have an obligation to yourself to cancel it. Let me illustrate this. What you see and what you do is important, even if you don't mean it. Under the pressure of the trial of Jesus, Peter three times publicly denied that he knew Jesus. Three times he said, I don't know the man. When the angel at the resurrection gave a message, the message was from Jesus, go and tell my disciples and Peter. He was no longer a disciple. He had cancelled his discipleship. See, he didn't mean it, but he'd done it by what he said. And Jesus, in his infinite grace and wisdom, took Peter aside and three times made him profess out loud his love for the Lord. He had to revoke what he had said before by the right confession. And this is exactly true. Getting rid of these things is almost like a divorce. It's got to be done, in a certain sense, legally. You've got to break the connection. What I suggest you do, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to do it here tonight, is something like this. And I'll just give you an example. Lord, I confess as a sin that I went to that fortune teller. I played with that Ouija board. I had my palm read. I've studied the horoscopes and dozens of other things. I confess it as a sin. Lord, I acknowledge that I went to a servant of Satan for help. Forgive me, Lord. I renounce it. I will never do it again. And I loose myself in Jesus' name from every dark influence that came upon me through it. And that will work. But if you don't take it seriously, you'll go on suffering. The curse is revoked in Christ, but you've got to enter into that, the revocation of that curse. Secondly, if you have any literature or other objects that speak of satanic cults and worship, burn them, preferably tonight, not tomorrow. Don't give them away. Burn them. This is scriptural. Acts 19, the believers, I want you to notice that, the believers brought the books they had and burned them. $20,000 worth of books. I was dealing with a woman the other day. She was a doctor of metaphysics. She spent about 6 years in study of these satanic teachings and cults. She wrote to me a letter which I have in my file, a most pathetic letter. Do you think there's hope for me? Do you think there's a possibility of deliverance? She said, even though when I go to the post to mail this letter, if Satan tries to kill me on the way to the post. So I met with her by appointment at a certain camp. And I prayed for her deliverance, and she got a measure of deliverance. Now I said, you'll have to go home and burn every book. She said, I can't do it. You'd be amazed at the number of excuses that she made for not being able to do it. She said, you know what they're worth? She said, they're worth at least $8,000 or $9,000. They're old manuscripts that I've collected. I said, so what? What is your soul worth? So when I last saw her, left her, she said, do you think I'll be free? I said, yes, but God is so gracious to you, he'll not take you off the hook till you burn those books. Because if you got off the hook without burning the books, you'd change your mind about burning them. And your situation would be worse afterwards than it was before. If you have idols, Buddhas, anything that was made to worship or in honor of some satanic being, break it, burn it, throw it out. You know, I walked into an Assembly of God church, not in this area, last year. And on the shelf in the pastor's office were four statues of Buddha. I nearly fell over back. And I'll tell you, I got involved in preaching that says we ended up in the deliverance service. I didn't plan. That meeting was turned upside down. And they told me afterwards in that area that that pastor had never had to preach an evening service for 6 months. The Spirit of God moved in every evening service. Because Satan had been brought out into the open. One more thing and I close. This is your responsibility to pray for your nation. You, by the Bible, have placed upon you the obligation to pray every day for your government, for those in authority. And most Christians haven't even begun to do it. I cannot preach on this tonight, it would take too long. But the Bible places upon Christians the obligation to intercede for the government. And you are given power. Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. If two of you shall agree, touching anything that they shall ask on earth, it shall be done. You do not need to tolerate the satanic condition and the satanic invasion to which your country is subjected. You have the means at your disposal to change the situation. It is a spiritual condition and it is resolved by spiritual means. And the spiritual means are in the hands of the Christians, not the unbeliever. If you do not use it, my conviction is your country will perish. And I do not say that idly. I am firmly convinced that this decade will solve the destiny of America one way or the other. And even papers like Time and Life, that certainly are not slanted in the spiritual direction, have come out with virtually the same conclusion. How many of you tonight would say, Brother Prince, I'll accept my responsibility from tonight onwards, as I'm taught in the Bible and as the Holy Spirit guides me, to pray for my government and my nation? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Now you stick to that. There's enough people here to change the whole of Houston. You don't need to let the devil parade up and down your streets and in your classrooms. It is not necessary. He's a defeated foe, friend. But Jesus has left it to you and me to administer the defeat. Jesus has settled the devil question 19 centuries ago on the cross. But when he'd settled the question, he went back to heaven and he said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and do something about it. And he's been waiting about 19 centuries for people to realize what he meant. The other question, and this is what we close with tonight, those of you that know you have given room to the devil, some area of your life, some time of your life, you've crossed the border into the wrong spiritual realm, you've fooled around with cults and things, I've specified them long enough, and tonight you want to know as you go out of here that you're totally clear and free of all that, would you do the same? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Now, those of you that raised your hand, I'm going to call you out to the front. This is the close of this service tonight. Stand up and walk out here, and I'll lead you in a renunciation. Now, I'm going to lead you in a prayer because I feel it's easier for you.
Deception is real. And it comes because of witchcraft and sorcery. You know, it's bad when you get into something and you don't even know you're in it. But you're in it. And you're ignorantly in it. That's a bad situation. When you don't know you've been bound by the devil, and the devil's been given access to your soul, and he's got you. One of the primary ways the devil has bound a generation of people through dedication to him is tattooing. People that know they gave their bodies to the devil and gave him jurisdiction to live in them. So sometimes it's a war to get rid of those demons that came in from tattooing because you engraved yourself with the symbology of I've dedicated myself to the devil. In sororities and fraternities, they brand them. You're dedicating your body to the devil. It's witchcraft and sorcery. The devil knows what he's doing to you, but you don't know what he's doing to you. See, because tattooing is actually acquiring the spirit of a dead person. Remember, the Bible says, don't tattoo your body for the dead. You tattoo your body as a remembrance of the dead. Because the spirit that lived in your grandmama, you want your grandmama's essence to abide in you. See, not knowing, you can take in all kinds of stuff that come from paganism and witchcraft because the devil exploits what? Ignorance. My people perish for lack of knowledge. So a teacher is sent. People have come to admonish and show you what's going on for you to avoid what? The pitfalls of life. A teacher is supposed to stand in the, between you and the devil and say, avoid him by avoiding this pitfall, this snare. But what's happening in church? Entertainment, preaching, foolishness. So the people remain ignorant. And they go right into the devil's snares. Homes destroyed. Can't figure out what's wrong with that child. Can't figure out where these spirits came from. Can't figure out where these maladies come from, these diseases and sicknesses. See, all this stuff has a root cause. But because we're ignorant of the devil's devices, we fall prey to him. See, deception has all kinds of ramifications in your life because you don't know how this happened to you. They begin to impugn your thinking processes. You can't think clearly. Mind cloudy. You forget things. You know, forgetfulness is a spirit. I can't remember. I just had this thing. I went upstairs and came back downstairs. Then you come downstairs and can't remember what you came downstairs for. I got come in. Yeah, I'm looking around crazy. Then you go back upstairs and remember Why you went downstairs? You done been up and downstairs 9 times. You go upstairs, forget. Go downstairs, remember. Go upstairs, forget. Remember, write it down. Write it down. Write the stuff down, man. That's a spirit doing that. That's a devil playing with you like a cat playing with a mouse in your own mind. I'm telling you, you got to pray over your own mind nowadays. You got to pray to stay sane. Stay away from stuff that will impugn your sanity. Music out here right now, it will drive you insane. Look at these kids. It's something wrong with them. You got people arrested in their development. They're around 25 years old acting like a 10-year-old boy. And you're trying to wonder what's wrong with your son. Why don't you get a career? Go to school. Lil Wayne is in his ear. Jay-Z is in his ear. Third grade educated morons have fine-tuned the boy's soul to be a moron like they are. He loses goals. He loses a drive. He loses a vision. You know, why squander your life? Your life is short anyway. Why squander your life in nothingness? I mean, I might as well take a couple of vacations while I'm alive. I might as well live where I want to live, drive what I want to, while I'm here. I might as well go to Buckhead a couple of times and eat myself a steak. And since I'm here, you know what I'm saying? But to just live somewhere in an apartment, not even an apartment. I guess that's a piece of an apartment. You know, I don't have a whole apartment. I have an apartment. I got myself an apartment. I got myself some bus passes, some martyr cards. And I got myself some dope. I'm living large. Man, have you ever been to Cancun? Have you ever been to Jamaica? Have you ever been to the Bahamas? Have you thinking about an Amtrak train trip through the mountains, the Appalachians? Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? Look, I got myself an apartment. And my mama gave me an old mattress. I got myself somewhere to sleep. And I'm good. You know, some people's minds are that limited. They never see themselves in any light other than what the devil confined them to. The devil did this to them. He limited your mind, limited your scope, so he limited your investment in life. That's how the devil operates. We're trying to get people to break out of this limitation on their minds placed there by the devil. But if you don't know what you got into, you don't know where it's coming from. You join the Masons or the Eastern Stars, you're going to loose a heavily sexual perverse spirit on your home. On your mind, your life, whoredoms come from joining sororities and Eastern Stars. That thing going to be on you. They always stamp the back of their back, the base of their back with that tramp stamp. And that's going to mark you as a slut. I'm a whore. And the devil going to begin to turn you out. The devil is a master pimp. He can turn you out. Nobody planned on being a whore at 8 years old. How'd you get away from over there as an eight-year-old girl just playing around in the sandbox, hanging around, having a good time, playing with your dolls? And now at 20, you are turned out, pimped out, whore, been with 35, 40, 50, 100 guys. It's a devil introduced in your life somewhere. And see, all that's sitting in church, nobody says a word about it. Everybody come in, still bound. You bring up the devils, and the devils in the congregations rise up in the people. So you got whole churches kept under the control of the devil. And if anybody comes to that church to bring light to that church, from the pulpit to the back door, everybody rises up. See, I've been there, man. I've been in a church pulpit talking to you folk, man. I done felt that thing rise up. All I do is turn it up louder. Doggone, all you devils better back off. They be like, this joker crazy. You got to go. You have to go there with the devil. See, people be trying not to go there. You got to learn to go there with folk, man. If that's the devil dealing with you, the devil wears a Brooks Brothers suit and a Mary McFadden dress. The devil's not a spook. He's embodied in somebody. You think that's just your mama? That's the devil. You think that's just your sister or your cousin or your auntie? That's the devil in human form. You got to know that. Stop being offended by it. You represent Christ. You speak truth to power. It is what it is. See, you lose self-consciousness in this. I have no self-consciousness when I'm in this thing. I don't care who you are, from the president, White House to outhouse. The gospel is applicable to everybody, the same, flatline. This is the way, and you better walk in it. That's how you deliver this message. See, we are in this realm now of tolerance, diversity. Nobody can judge anything. Nobody has the right to say anything about anything. Let everybody alone. Whatever I self-identify as, that's what I am. I'm not a man. I'm a man that identifies as a woman. So I'm. That's normal. And I'm supposed to say, yeah, I can see that. No, man, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with Bruce Jenner. That's not Caitlyn Jenner. That's Bruce Jenner, period. And for him to think he's Caitlyn Jenner, there's something wrong with him. What's wrong with him? He's demon possessed. Somebody got to set him free if he will repent of his sin. Yes. See, without repentance from your sin, there is no help for you, because you won't even do what? Acknowledge your transgression. I'm going to justify myself. Notice how everybody that was rebellious against Jesus, the Bible says, seeking to justify themselves, they said whatever they said next. Not wanting to repent, leave you like you are, damned to hell in a delusion. I'm not going to think that a woman standing there in some overalls with a backwards cap, smoking a cigar, is a man. Ellen DeGeneres is not a man. She's a woman. Demonized to believe she's a lesbian. The thing has infected her mind and affected her mind until her feelings have fallen prey to it. Now she feels all this stuff about a woman in her, because the demon has done what? Organically entered and grown up. Now it's big in her. So she has to do what? Acknowledge that the lesbianism is a sin. Hate the fact that I've become this thing. Turn on it and repent and throw yourself on the altar to Jesus Christ to save my soul and set me free from this thing. And then you're going to find what? A war going to break out inside of them. Because that thing that's been there is a strong man with a stronghold. The devil having given you millions of dollars to promote this. You're going to have World War III in that thing. Because it's saying, look, you owe me. You didn't just get in surface deep. You got in deep. Notice how you got rid of some things in your life easily. But that stuff that got in deep that you spent years doing and dug yourself in, man, that's a stronghold. Derrick Prince has a stronghold. Good teacher, valid teacher, but he wouldn't touch Roman Catholicism. Wouldn't do it. That's why they talked about staying at a monastery. I stayed there at the monastery overnight, and the nuns there were expected to find them. And there are no nuns. There are no priests. There is no pope. But he was afraid of that for some reason. It had him bound. It was a stronghold. So God used him, but when he got to that stronghold, he wouldn't touch it. That's why he needs a guy like me that don't care. I don't care about him. I'll tell you about Derrick Prince with a flaw, though. Because you can pick out flaws in different people. You know, if you see me and you pick out a flaw in me, bypass me and go a step further and keep running. I'm not this. Jesus is the standard, not me, not you. You say, well, price is all right, up, but this right here about him. Bypass that, jump me, and you keep running. Don't make any person your standard. Jesus is the standard. You are complete where? In him. In him we live and move and have our being. Christ in you is the hope of your glory. Is not a man. But people hate that message because, see, they build systems around men's personalities so I can blame them if something goes wrong. No, man, you're going to stand before that judgment seat, that white throne, all by yourself. And the Bible says you'll give an account for everything you did in your mortal body. That's terrifying. Because when you start to point to somebody, the Lord going, hey, ho, don't mention nobody else to me up here. I'm talking to you about what you did. But I was a victim. That's why I gave you repentance, to forgive and release yourself from whatever happened to you. You just didn't obey the Lord. So this thing is real. We can't afford to play with this. This is real this time. So you see now, deception is prevalent. And piggybacking on deception, or the catalyst behind deception, is witchcraft. Now notice how the language of the Bible is witchcraft, sorcery, necromancy, divination. It's full of witches, wizards, sorcerers, divination, curses. Oh, this is the language of the Bible. Look how the churches avoid all of that. They never talk about that. They just preach messages about civil rights and the community, love, and all this stuff. And we warred against supernatural, metaphysical, dynamic power thrust forth on us from the devil. And we're trying to pretend like it's not happening. The results of witchcraft are evident. Look at society at large. Something is wrong with people. You go to your schools and watch the people who teach in your schools and the principals and assistant principals. It's something wrong with them. It's something wrong with these people. When you talk to people out there in society at large, listen to them and look at them. They're not normal people. They've been bewitched. There's a catalyst that's been put forth over this whole nation that has bewitched the people. They've been divined upon. Where did it come from? Through Beyonce. Through Jay-Z. Through R. Kelly, who is nothing but a pedophile. All these folk divining all these spirits on folk. Turning your daughter into a 10-cent whore by the time she's 12. With Nicki Minaj playing in her ear. Nicki Minaj is a witch. Trina is a witch. Remy Ma is a witch. Beyonce is a witch. Rihanna is a witch. Taylor Swift is a witch. All these folks are witches. Ciara is a witch. Jennifer Lopez is a witch. You got to know this. Lil Wayne is a warlock. Drake is a warlock. They use music and beats to divine their spells. How do you think they're forging out these little girls in the little holes? Twerking whores, twerking like dogs in these clubs. Go to parties twerking like dogs in middle school on these boys, twerking in the hallways, hunching like Great Dane dogs when you're 13 years old. They've been bewitched. And everybody wants to walk past us like it's not there. Not me. Not me. You got to stand in the middle of this firestorm and tell the truth. Speak truth to power. Don't back off of it one inch. If you don't speak up, these people have no chance of regaining their sanity. They've been driven into madness. This is madness. This is not normal. A college dance team at a HBCU, they got these girls out there dancing on the field like Great Dane dogs. And they're the most glamorous girls on the campus. Look what you're doing. Where's your dignity? Where's your morality? Where's your virtue? Where's your honor? Where's your lady-like character? To join the dance team, you got to become an animal, a dog. I say that, and I'm the enemy. Oh, it's nothing big about that. That's a demon talking. Whenever you see somebody defending the devil, you got a devil in front of you. What's wrong with R. Kelly? You know, how you make love to your wife, you're intimate with her, you need some music playing. All you can play is worldly, stank, low-life scumbag music to be with your wife, man? What are you? You see, this thing has reached a critical mass now. Either you address it and stand in this firestorm against it, or you go with it. But there's no more compromise allowed in God's kingdom. Either stand against God's enemies with God, or you stand against God with his enemies. Your choice. Jesus said it this way, either you gather with me or you scatter against me. There are no gray areas. So we got to make up our minds whether to stand with the Lord or to stand with his enemies against the Lord. It's just that simple. This thing has reached a fever pitch, y'all. There's no backing off of it now. We're in too deep. So you got to either get in or get out because there's no middle ground. All right, we're going to deal with this today. Nothing down here is pretty. Nothing down here is nice. It's not sweet and it's not cute. It's a dirty, low-down battle. We're talking about today the synagogue of Satan. Satan has a synagogue built, and we're going to take a look at this thing. Look in your Bibles in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. This won't take long as we dissect the synagogue of Satan. Revelation chapter 2. The saddest thing available to this earth is this right here. The fact that church doesn't do anything for anybody that's beneficial. Folks have gone to church their whole lives and they've gotten nothing out of it. How can you go to an institution your whole life, never taught the Bible, knowing nothing about the Bible, you haven't advanced one inch in your Christian experience, and you just keep going every Sunday and Wednesday night for nothing? For nothing. You just put money in the tray and you get nothing out of it. You just stay like you are. You stay in sin. You're damned to hell when you die. And they stand over you in the church service after the Masonic lodge you belong to comes and does the hocus pocus over your dead body. After your frat brothers come and do that hocus pocus over your dead body. The preacher, a frat brother and a Mason, cursing you, damning your body to hell. And everybody in the church shouting and jumping as you're damned to hell by these heathens that serve the devil. And you sat in church your whole life in a demon-possessed mausoleum full of devils that consecrate your dead corpse to the pit of the damned while celebrating a going home service. And people want you to be quiet and just take it in stride. I'm not. These folks are going to hell. For real. Hell is real and hell is hot. Nobody gets a free pass. You can sit in a funeral and imagine all day long that your grandmama's in a better place. And you know she died shacking up with old Billy for the last 30 years of her life. Since she was a young girl, been with this guy shacking up, fornicating, never repentant, and you put her in heaven. There's no exceptions made, buddy. He said what he meant in this Bible. He meant what he said.
That's right.
That's what people don't like about the real church. You don't alter the truth one inch. You make no exceptions. You don't downgrade it for anybody, including yourself. This is the way. Walk in it. It's a straight and narrow way. Few there be that find it. Broad is the way going into damnation. And many there be that go in therein, but narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Few there be that enter in. That's the truth. It's more likely that you're damned than you are saved on any given day of the week. That's why you got to make your calling and election sure. You got to run this race to win it. The Bible says you did run well. Who did hinder you? Talking about being bewitched. Man, you can't afford to downgrade this thing for anybody. You better get for real for you. You got to protect your mind. You got to put that helmet of salvation is, and the Bible defines that as the helmet of hope. You got to shield yourself from incoming ordinance. This thing's vying for your mind all day long.
Yes, it
is. All night long you're sleeping. Your dreams are vying for your mind. The devil is firing fiery darts all day and night long. So you need somebody to, hey, look, God, shield my mind. Too many inputs, too many voices. Your mind is dangerous because it can be full of images and words and remembrances and all kinds of stuff can be stored in you to stir it up to a frenzy. You need God to, hey, settle my mind down, quiet my mind down. My mind is too noisy. You're going to walk out of here with your mind ablaze with voices and images and words until you can walk around crazy. You just... with all this stuff flashing into your mind, it takes God to govern your mind. You need a governor over your mind to keep your mind peaceful.
Amen.
Telling you, man, that's what happens in church when you're going into a wrong spiritual environment. You'll leave out that thing with your mind ablaze with demonic activity because you sat in front of a sorcerer spitting in the microphone yelling at you and he was a warlock or she was a witch. You go away to a Juanita Bynum conference, you'll come back bewitched.
Yeah, yeah.
Demon possessed. With a prayer shawl wrapped around your shoulder that you got from her. And now you're demon possessed. And can't understand why you're losing your mind. Why your marriage is going through hell. Why your kids have crazy. You brought the cursed thing in your house you got from this nutcase prophetess. And now you're sitting there demon possessed. Because you went to a weekend's woman's conference. Everybody want to play. You go to the mega fest, you'll come back demon possessed. Because you went to the devil for entertainment. You went to go see Steve Harvey like he's a man of God. That's why people pick up so much trash. Because they keep wandering around in the God-forsaken wasteland to go see demons and devils. The Bible says seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Not knowing that you're dealing with the devil, you'll think it's God and get snared and indoctrinated in filth. And it might take 10 years to get out of what you got in one day. You can get into something easy. The devil lets you in easy. It's hard coming out. Easy getting in, hard getting out. So when the Lord paid the price, all that talk sounds real good until you get in this battle for real. Yeah. And you spend years warring with somebody in their life to get free from a spirit.
Yes. Ooh, Lord.
They don't just go away because they're personalities. And they brand every house they inhabit as their property. This is my house. They'll tell you real fast out of somebody's mouth when you cast them out. This is my house. Her daddy gave her to us. When he abandoned the home, he abdicated the home to us and we came in. And then the mama moved some old nasty stank guy into the house that's been molesting these little girls, and the demons entrenched themselves in these little girls, and they grew up whores, witches, and crazy because the mama wanted some old nasty drag to live at the house with them to get the money to replace the money that was lost when the man left. And you went to the devil for subsistence because a man left you, and you went to the devil to help you financially, and the devil cursed your house. Hey man, I wish it was pretty. It ain't, and I ain't gonna preach it pretty because it ain't pretty. Synagogue of Satan, Revelation chapter 2 verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last which was dead and is alive. These things says the first and the last, which was dead, but now he's alive again. That's the mark to rest on, the true Son of God. See, you're going to find out real fast that Muhammad ain't alive again. He died. He didn't come back. What's rested on the real Son of God? He was dead, but now he's alive again. He resurrected. I know thy works. This is Jesus talking. And tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. You're poverty stricken, but you're rich simultaneously. In the natural, they say you're poverty stricken, but in the eternal realms, you've been given all things that pertains to life and godliness. You're poverty, but you are also rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Blasphemers. Saying they are Jews, but they really belong to the synagogue of Satan. Look at Revelation 3. Revelation 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. Know that about Jesus Christ. If he shuts a door, man can't open it. If he opens a door, man can't shut it. Promotion on your job, if he opens the door, nobody on your job can stop it. Because he opened the door and they can't shut it. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word and has not denied my name. You kept my word and you didn't deny my name. Those two things are the factors that's going to make you eligible to go to heaven or not go. You kept his word. And in a tribulation prone place, in a time of persecution, you didn't deny his name before people. I kept your word. I didn't deny your name. Because tremendous pressure will be put to bear on you to deny him. And see, it's ways to deny him without opening your mouth.
That's right.
Hanging around people that deny him. Not being confrontational when somebody's saying something you know is of the devil and wrong. You're denying Christ. When you deny truth, you deny Christ. You're there to cause that conflict in their souls. I'm conflicting you. I'm making you have to deal with this, man. I'm not backing off of this. This is the way. You walk in this. This is the way. You're shacking up with your boyfriend. You're committing fornication. That's going to damn you to hell. The lake of fire has been instituted for fornicators. All fornicators go to the lake of fire. So you judging me, you're exactly right, because I'm quoting the Bible to you that has already judged you. He's already pronounced the judgment on you, because the prince of this world is judged already. Every activity that comes under the auspices of sin, it's already been decreed in the Bible what the judgment is. I'm not judging you. I'm telling you the judgment that is already decreed over you by your actions. You want to change the judgment on you? Change your actions. I'm not changing when you continue on in your sin. You continue on damned. That's what I say about you church folk. Call me what you want to. Come with any railing accusation you can think of. Somebody's right, somebody's wrong. David said, against thee, God, against thee only have I sinned. I'm telling you what the Lord says about every person generically. It's applicable to every person on this planet the same. It doesn't change. I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. He's not going to just change any decrees for anybody. You got to stop trying to variate from anything God says for the sake of people. Church folk always trying to stumble around and begin to stutter because somebody comes at them ferociously. I just stand there like, granted, this is the way, you better change. Because God's not going to change for you or anybody else. You can rail at me all you want. Call me every name in the book. Cursing until you run out of curse words. You still going to be in the same state, having to answer to the true and living God. Period. Not varying at all. Church is full of folks that are going to hell because they've deceived themselves to believe that somehow God knows my heart. You're crazy. That's crazy. You commit sin talking about God knows your heart. I know your black heart too, because you commit sin. Out of the heart flows the issues of life. Your heart is always revealed to everybody because your activities reveal your heart. Out of your heart flows the issues of life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. God knows my heart. That is so crazy. Look what he says. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. So you got false members of the synagogue. What does the word synagogue mean? Synagogue is basically a Jewish word, and it means an assembly, a gathering, or a congregation. So it's just a gathering. They say they are the gathering, the congregation of the Jews, but they're lying. They're really of the gathering of Satan. They're satanic people. They represent the devil. They're the church of Satan. You got to know now, everybody talking about Jesus is not talking about the Jesus of the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4 and following tells you there's another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit. Everything that is authentic has a counterfeit. So when people talk about Jesus, you know, listen to what they say. What do you monitor and observe? The fruit. What kind of life are they living? That's what you monitor. The devil talks about Jesus all day long, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible. If you speak not according to the law and the prophets, the Bible says, let you be accursed. So that means you have to know the word of God in order to know if you got a legitimate presentation of Jesus. Because the devil is always trying to circumvent what God says in his word. And you can't go with that. You shall know them by their fruit. When people are dealing with you, is there any love there? Any joy? Any peace? Is it bringing peace to your soul, or is it bringing calamity to you? Long suffering, the ability to put up with things for a long time. Goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. These are the fruit of God's spirit that let you know you have a manifestation of Jesus. See, the gospel is easily entreated. It brings peace to your soul. Now, it might come in and create volatility because it's dealing with the flesh to put it to death. But after a while, it'll bring forth what? The peaceable fruits of righteousness. It's going to pacify you. Because all the volatility came from the demonic things that had you bound. Once they're expelled from your life, now you'll find God will strengthen you, settle you, pacify the inner man. Because he brought peace to a troubled land. Troubled thoughts will leave you. Anxiety will leave you. Depression will leave you. All that stuff that you've been dealing with will leave you. You know, you can be in a circumstance with God, and the circumstance don't change at all, but he'll change you in it. Somebody crazy been bothering you, and all of a sudden you die to them, and they don't bother you anymore. The person's still crazy, but you changed. That's what you want. See, you can't control somebody else's will and what they do. You want God to change you. It's a transformation wrought in the inner man. It's a transformation of your mind. The Bible says be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Take off the old man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man. He's changing us from glory to glory, from faith to faith, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, line upon line. He's changing you into the image of his son. It's a work in progress. You're progressively moving forward to be changed into what Jesus is. So there are a synagogue of people down here, a congregation of people that say they are Jews, but they are not. They're counterfeits. Okay, who are these people? What's going on? First of all, let's look at Romans chapter 2. Let's get a groundwork established, first of all, because we got to deconstruct and put down the stupidity of folk first, and then we'll show you the real thing. Romans 2, verse 17. Romans chapter 2, verse 17. He says, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and you make your boast in God. Make your boast of God. And know his will, and approve the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. It's talking to the Jewish people, the physical Jewish people standing in front of him. And art confident that you yourself are a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Now he's talking to Jews. Why? Because Jesus Christ came as a Jew in the midst of the Jews, committed the word of God to the Jews. And he's saying, now you think, because you came from the law, you're a Jew. Jesus is of the Jews. Now you're the anchor. You're the one that he used to send his word to the rest of the Gentile nations. You were the seed bed for the word of God to reach everybody else. God came through the Jews to reach everybody else on earth. That's a fact. So he says now, you got a form of knowledge and of the truth and the law. You therefore which teach another, teachest thou not thyself. Now you're a teaching Jew now that you know God and everything. So do you teach yourself? You the preacher man should not steal. Do you steal? Look at this now. You that say a man should not commit adultery. Do you commit adultery? You that abhor idols. Do you commit sacrilege? Or in other words, do you sacrifice to idols and worship idols yourself? You that make thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. So what's happening? The Gentiles see you proclaiming the dictates of the law and not seeing you living it. So you blaspheme God because you're telling them to live up to the dictates of the law, but don't commit adultery, thou shalt not, but you commit adultery. So the name of God is blasphemed through you all day long. You can't preach what you don't practice. That's called hypocrisy, play acting. I'm standing up at New Birth, sodomizing teenage boys, preaching to you. That's insane. Why would anybody in the place sit there and listen to that? They got the same thing in them. So judge not. Who can cast the first stone? Nobody's perfect. God knows we're all sinners. You make allowances for sin based on your own sin. And you'll sit up under an unrighteous person preaching to you because you don't want your sin to be revealed. So how can a pot call a kettle black? That's what it's all about. That's the synagogue of Satan. You can't see this? Sinners set up the synagogues of Satan. And they preach messages that never do what? Convict you of sin. It won't convict you of sin. It's just prophesying about your life. Prophesying about getting a husband or a wife. Prophesying about your money coming to you now. Leroy Thompson and that lie he's telling. Creflo Dollar telling lie after lie after lie about prosperity over there to build himself up a big bank account. But since I'm a sinner, I'll let him exploit me because he's not convicting me of sin. I know people that live with folks shacking up that pay their tithes over at World Changes. Synagogues of Satan. They're everywhere. That's why Baptist churches tell you once saved, always saved. It's a synagogue of Satan. You're a fornicator, but you can't lose your salvation. Synagogues of Satan. There is a righteous standard here. Jesus Christ is our righteous standard. Talking about you can't judge me. Jesus Christ is the standard, not man. You don't live up to his dictates. He's going to judge you based on himself. Not anybody else horizontal to you. You can't afford to base it on other folks. He says, when you compare yourself to other people, you are most unwise. That's a bad mistake to compare yourself to people. Says, the name of God is blasphemed all day long because of you among the Gentiles. Verse 25, for circumcision verily profits if you keep the law. But if you be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. So what's he saying? You might have circumcised yourself in a ritual. But he said, if you don't keep the standards of the law and obey God, circumcision is made uncircumcision. Physical stuff you're doing in rituals mean nothing. It's a circumcision now of the heart. You got to get your heart right to walk with God. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? If all these Gentiles obey God and they're not Jews under the law getting circumcised, their uncircumcision will become what? Circumcision. So who's the real Jew now? The uncircumcised person is now the Jew because they obey God. Look how it's changing up now. And shall not the uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, judge thee, judge thee. Thou shalt not judge. The uncircumcision, which is by nature, fulfilling the law, can judge thee. Those who say, judge not, we judge thee. Who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law. You're a Jew, circumcised, but you don't obey the law, and the uncircumcised Gentiles now judge you because you're the rebel against God. For he is not a Jew. Listen to this. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew. Listen to this. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Outward performance is praised by men. Inward circumcision and you being sanctified within is praised by God because he can see what? The inner man. God doesn't look at the flesh. He looks at what? The heart. He's looking at your heart to see if you're circumcised. Have you cut off sin in your heart? You know if you cut out sin in your heart, the outward part is going to take care of itself.
That's right.
So what happens? I remain a sinner, uncircumcised in heart, and try to look righteous to men. And God is knowing what? You stink. You're nasty and filthy in the inner man. You say all the right things, but God is weighing the heart. And when he really puts his finger on your nasty heart, out of the abundance of the heart, you are going to come against God because you really hate God. Because you're not circumcised. And now you start talking about what church folk do. That's what I say about you church folk. That's letting you know that you're not a church folk. So the word church means the ecclesia is the word for church. It means the called out ones who came out from amongst the unclean things and did not touch the sinners any longer. Didn't fellowship with them. You can't hang out with sinners as a saint because sinners are going to do things a saint can't do. I'm going out with my girlfriends, you know, I got saved and everything, but I still hang with my girls. No, your girls going to send you to hell. Because you're going to go to your girlfriend's shower with all your sinning girlfriends. Next thing you know, a buck wild naked dad going to come into the shower hunching in your face, butt naked. Ha! And you end up with your girlfriend. He got old thong on, no butt naked dude, all in your lap. Yeah. And they just laughed at that. She said she was saved too. Look at her. We tricked her. We tricked you. We tricked you. Old stinking nasty dude, all got a butt all in your face, naked butt. That's what they do at these old bachelorette parties. And you trying to hang with your girls. You better let your girls go before your girls carry you to hell. You can't hang with sinners because sinners do what sinners do. Not if you're a saint sanctified from sin.
That's right.
They're going to say, you trying that funny. I'm not trying that funny. I'm normal now. See, I'm now normal. I got my sanity back. So I don't want the naked cowboy dancing in my face. He come there as a butt naked policeman with a cap, a policeman hat on, and a baton, butt naked. See, okay, also, all of you, all 15 of you are normal, right? I get up and leave and I'm crazy. You've got a butt naked police officer at your bachelorette party and I'm crazy. You see how they are? This is real life. If you try to fellowship with them, they're going to lead you into something crazy in just a minute. And you're going to be trying to sit up in it and they're going to be mocking you. They're going to be laughing at you knowing that they got you out there. That's why you might as well leave sinners alone. Sinners don't like saints. You're going to pretend these folks like you and love you. Sinners love themselves and they represent the devil and they lay snares for the saints. Can't do it, man. I wish it was pretty. It's not. He says your praise is not of men, but it is of God. God can see your inner man that's been circumcised. So now we've established the real Jew has a circumcised heart. It ain't the circumcision in the flesh that identifies you as a Jew now. You came to Jesus and you were circumcised in heart. So Jews and Gentiles are saved on the same basis. Deception. Watch John Hagee. He'll tell you there are two ways to be saved. Gentiles get saved through Jesus. Jews get saved through the law. Don't believe that. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. You better know when you're listening now, John Hagee is on TV and then Billowin and everybody. John Hagee is great. I love John Hagee. You better listen to find out what the flaws are. It's a slick operation. Folks to be preaching, then they'll slide in Hebrew Israelite on you. See, the blacks are the real Jews. The circumcision in the heart, but it's not in melanin content in your skin. The Jews are circumcised in the heart. Not because you black. Black buddy. we established that through the, you just read it. I can't be making it up. You just read it. You don't believe it? Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. You know the law came now after the Abrahamic covenant, right? And the Bible says the law was just added because of the Israelite transgression. Some way to constrain them and keep them until Jesus came. You see what he did? He sealed them up under the law until the seed that the promise was made to was manifested. He had to have a way to sanctify the Israelites so Jesus would come through them. Why was the law given? The law was given to isolate the Israelites away from those that worship demons, so they remain people of God, so Jesus could come to people and through people who were not demon worshipers. They worship the true God. See, God sanctified them under law so they did not partake in the rituals of the heathens and the pagans who worship demons. It's logical. He was a schoolmaster that led them to Christ. So the law was added because of transgressions. If you understand what's going on, if the teachers and preachers are teaching you, you'll have a clear mind about this. So when people come with stupid doctrine, you say, hey, man, that's silly. And I'm going to tell you why it's silly. Go to Galatians chapter 3, man. And you can read it to them. If I talk to a Jehovah Witness, I take them to Hebrews and tell them, hey, look, the Bible says that God hadn't said to any angel in any time, sit thou at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So you said that Jesus is Michael the archangel, and the Bible disproves this right there. Well, I don't care what you say. I just know, I know what I know, and I know that I know, and I know what I know when I know. And hey, look, man, the Bible is against you. The word of God is against you. So it says, the law was ordained through a mediator of one, but God is a mediator is not one, but God is one. So it was ordained in a mediator. Now a mediator is not one, is not a mediator of one, but God is one. So how is if you got a mediator and a mediator is between two people, but yet God is one person? What's going on? The law is this ordinance that's given. It's ordained in the hand of a mediator who was Moses, who mediated between God and man. But see, God didn't make a promise to Moses or the Israelite or the Jews. He made it to the seed. So he promised to himself. I'm promising this promise to myself. God is one. It was infallible. Moses was a mediator between God and the Israelites, awaiting the seed that the promise was made to. Now look how all of salvation is around, centered around God. God the Father promised to a seed to bring this promise to pass. The seed was his son, Jesus. What was the promise? The promise of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. You can't even mess this up. I promised the Holy Ghost to my son, and all of us are God. I don't have to depend on none of y'all to mess it up. It's perfect. Outside of man, God has made a promise to himself to save man. Now, he don't depend on none of us and our stupidity trying to step in. Well, in my opinion, look, man, not you. Nah, not you. Infallibility. God made a promise to himself to save man. Golly, that's grace. Grace is that you can't earn it because he didn't make the promise to you. You just got to yield to the person the promise is made to and get inside of him. You're accepted in the beloved. That's grace. It's the grace of Jesus Christ imputed to us because we accept him as the Savior. God didn't make the promise to us. God is one, and he made the promise to himself. If is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness which should have been by the law. So now look at the common sense of this. Is God making the law evil or none effect? No, the law was, it fulfilled the purpose he sent it for. to sustain people and to cap them off as his people until he got to the seed that he made the promise to. All the Bible tells us everything under the law is good. But what was the problem with the law? Nobody can do it. In a fallen state, a sinful state, God says, thou shalt not, and everything in you says, I will, thou wilt, I will do it. You don't believe it? Just watch your kid. You got to teach your kid to do wrong. You're just doing wrong. I tell Jeremiah, come here, boy. He just... You know what I'm saying? So put down that glass of apple juice here. Everything is, hey man, I said put the apple juice down. That's how people are with God. The Bible says when the commandment comes, what happens? Sin revives. And I die. You get more pepped up. Thou shalt not fornicate. Man, you down the hotel tonight, wide open, wide. Didn't I tell you not? But it felt good. So therefore, I made a decision based on how I felt. It felt good to me, so I figured I'd go with this. That's the way, that's what the law does. You can't save people through law because law does what? It revives sin. Law is the what of sin? It's the strength. It makes sin stronger. It makes it stands up. It'll stand up harder. You can't give commandments to a sinner. A sinner going to buck. So Jeremiah, come here, boy. He all down here in Afghanistan somewhere. I mean. And so what happens? That's when God take out that old trusty switch. Your grandmama used to get off the hickory tree. And God come after you with that switch. Didn't I tell you to get your butt? That's exactly what God does to you. He whips your butt because you won't do what he said. Anybody outside of God and unsaved is getting the butt whipping right now. You can be assured of that. I don't care how happy they look. I don't care how much you see them on TV. I don't see what kind of promotions they putting forth. I don't see what kind of magazine articles they in. They getting the butt whipping. Because God is angry with the sinner, what?
All day long.
He chastens them. He butt whips all day long. Okay, they can smile. You can smile all you want. I told a guy the other day, he's laughing about something I said about the Lord. I said, you know what? A smile is just a frown turned upside down. You might be laughing today. You're going to be frowning tomorrow, boy, when God get a hold of you. Oh, man, shut up. You don't know. Hey. See, look at you. You already frowning. I told you you're going to flip that smile around. I said a few words. I turned that smile into a frown. See, it sounds good when you're laughing at it and you've got all this big talk you're doing. But we can break down all that big talk. Real fast.
Real fast.
All you got to do is yield to the Lord. Get yourself together with the Lord on the vertical so you can live in peace. But something in folk, that sin nature, that Adamic nature, that fallen nature, just resists God. It just stands against God. That thing is like concrete. Man is proud. That's why he didn't use man to bring forth salvation. He used himself. Because we would do what? Boast about it. That's why the Bible says it's a gift to God so that no man can do what?
Boast
about it. You don't have nothing to do with this. You can't be proud and talk about what you did to get saved. You didn't do nothing to get saved. It was the grace of God. I mean, your life and your resume tells you, you know what? You were crazy. You were insane. You were losing your mind. And God somehow intervenes supernaturally. No man can come to God unless the Spirit first draws him. If he doesn't introduce himself to you and save you, you didn't find the Lord. The Lord found you. I thank God that 15 years ago I found the Lord. Well, the Lord wasn't lost. How you gonna find the Lord? The Lord had never been lost. The Lord found you. He hunted you down.
Yeah, that's right.
Because your praying grandmama, ask Helen Baylor. I had a praying grandmama dying, head slammed against a wall, dying, passing out, drug overdose. But I had a praying grandmama, and I knew enough to call on Jesus. Yes. She never took her hands off of me. Thank you, Lord. That's what happens.
That
praying grandmama son was, save my granddaughter, Jesus. Save my granddaughter. And God is flying and launching himself on those prayers. On the wings of prayer,
amen,
God comes to introduce his grace to your life because somebody prayed. Don't you know you would have been dead a long time ago unless somebody stood in the gap. Now it's our responsibility to do what? Stand in the gaps for somebody else, man. Jesus ever liveth to do what? Maketh intercession for us. So we join Jesus in intercession. This is what qualifies you as a priest.
Yes, Lord.
A priest's job right now is not somewhere offering sacrifices of bullets and goats. It's intercession.
Yes.
It's the sacrifice of a priest to intercede for the sins of the people.
Yes.
Did God not pronounce judgment? Don't you know God should have destroyed this planet a long time ago? But he's got some saints that are holding back his wrath through Jesus Christ as the high priest. He's a high priest that reigns over a kingdom of priests. That's why he says in Revelation, he makes us kings and priests. Kings to rule, priests to intercede and pray. The sacrifice of prayer. Prayer is a sacrifice. It's hard to pray. You don't be going to try to start praying, man. Something start happening to you like, something is warring against you saying some prayers. And the Bible says men ought always to pray and not faint. God is launching his whole mission on the back of prayer. He needs some praying folks. Praying folks are staying folks. You stay in when you pray. But when you give up on prayer, you got nothing to catapult you downstream. So you see now. He says, the law is given to sustain us until we get to this situation where the seed comes and Jesus receives the promise, which is the promise of the Holy Ghost. That's why Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was the promise given to him so he could shed it abroad on everybody else through baptizing them. It's no such thing as you getting saved and not seeking the Holy Ghost. That's the next step in your salvation process and progress. You got to move on to get the power of the Holy Ghost. You will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Notice how religion downplays the necessity of the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost when you got saved. No, you didn't, because you got no power. There's no fruit of the Spirit in you. There's no gifts of the Spirit. There's no evidence. Don't ever let somebody tell you you got something that you don't know you have.